Yutes Hamid Beis, the middle of the page, at the two dots. Yutes Hamid Beis would be 38. No. Okay, middle of the page. In the Mishnah it says, Valkisem Nechanike, it speaks about the 6 months that the Shluchim would go out to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh was. You know, Besen send out the messengers. So it says they went out in Kislev because of Chanukah. The people should know when Chanukah is. Val Adem Neapurim. And other, they used to go out for people to know when Purim was, right? Because you have to know the 14th of Adar is Purim, so they have to know when Rosh Chodesh was. So the Gemara says, Ve'ilu nesabra shana, but l'cheder, the Gemara is asking, in the Mishnah it doesn't say what happens if there's a leap year, that they should go out, afal adar shenim ne Purim loiktani. It doesn't say that when, because when, like this year, there's two Adars, so Purim is celebrated in the second Adar, not in the first Adar. So Gemara asks, why doesn't the Mishnah say that if there was two others, it went out another Sheni for Purim? And it doesn't say that. So Masnis and the Leiker Rebbe, Lucheder, that shows that our Mishnah doesn't go according to Rebbe. Why? The Tanya, because we learned, Rebbe says that if there was a leap year, Yeitim Afala, the Shenim Ne Purim. They also went out for Purim the second month. Okay? Now, sometimes though, what's the issue over here? Sometimes Bezer didn't know that they're making a second month until later. You know what I mean? Sometimes they figured out later. So Rabbi says, if that's the case, they would go out for other Sheni too. But the Chachamim argue. That means our Mishnah goes according, cannot go according to Rabbi. Because our Mishnah doesn't say you go out for the second other, if there's a leap year. And Rabbi says you do. So seemingly our Mishnah doesn't go according to Rabbi. So the Gemara says, Lema, so the Gemara questions, should we say, that this itself is the argument. When do you celebrate Purim? Meaning, the Marsav, one opinion says, Kol ha-mitzvahs, that all mitzvahs, ne'agas b'sheni, that you do in the second order, ne'agas b'rishin, does in the first one anyway. Meaning, the Chacham, this is what the Gemara thinks now, the Chachamim hold, if you did put him in the first order, you don't have to do it again in the second order. So therefore, if the people, let's say, did other put him the first order, yeah? And then they decided, oh, we're going to make a leap year. And now we're going to make a second order. So the Gemara thinks, maybe the Chachamol, that's it. You did put him already. And Rabbi Savar, Mar Savar, Rabbi would hold, Kol mitzvahs ne'agas b'sheni. Any mitzvah you do in the second, ein ne'agas b'rishin, doesn't apply in the first, and therefore if you did it in the first, you're not yetzer. Meaning as follows. What is the real order? That's the interesting halacha question. What is the main order? Is it the first one or the second one? So the Chachamim hold, basically, that any mitzvah that you did in the first, you did the mitzvah already. It could be the Chachamim hold, maybe, that the first order is the main order. So if you did it, you did it, it's finished. Rabbi says, no. Even if you did it in the first, and then there's a second order, you're not yetzer what you did in the first order. You have to do everything again. So that would matter, and the reason of the argument, do the shluchim go out for other sheni? If you hold you don't have to do Purim if you did it already, then why do you have to go out for other sheni for? They were yetzer Purim. Rabbi says, no, you have to do Purim again. And if what you did in the past was nothing, in the first order. So therefore, the shluchim have to go out to tell you when Purim is. That would be the argument. So the Gemara says, no, Loi, that's not true. Kulam, everybody really holds, mitzvahs and neagas b'sheni, that any mitzvah you did in the second order, ein neagas b'rishin, cannot be done in the first order. Everybody says, you have to do it again in the second order. So what's the reason of the argument where Rebbe says the Shluchim went out for second order and the Chachamim say not? If you have to keep Purim, why didn't they go out? So it says, they're arguing in the whole thing of Iber Shana, of the leap year. What does it mean? The Tanya, we learned, Kame Iber Shana, how many days does the first Adar have in a leap year? In a leap year, how many days does the first Adar have? So, the Chachamim hold Shleishim Yom, 30 days. That's it. The first Adar always has 30 days. Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Chodesh. Chodesh, the Gemara thinks now, means 29 days. Okay, so the Gemara is still in the middle. Maishno Shleishim, what's it different? That if you... So the Gemara is saying, the way the Gemara is answering now is as follows. According to the first opinion, the first Adar always has 30 days, right? If the first Adar always has 30 days, then what do you have to go out for the second Adar? Once you know when the first Adar is, and you know the first Adar must have 30 days, so then automatically you're going to know when Purim is. Right? If you know when Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first one is, and you know Adar has 30 days, so you know exactly when the second one's going to start, and the 31st day. So you don't have to go out. And the other opinion says Chodesh means sometimes like this, sometimes like this. So therefore you have to go out. That's what Rabbi holds. Like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara asks a question, Maishan Shleishim, why is 30 day different? The Yadah that people know exactly when it is. So he says, Chodesh Nami Yadah, because the Gemara thought, now Chodesh means 29 days. The one opinion says the first Adar is 30 days. The second opinion says the first Adar is 29 days. But the Gemara says, you still know what it is. So the Gemara says, no. Mandu Amar Chodesh, the one that says Chodesh doesn't mean 29 days. It means Ratzah Chodesh sometimes 29, Ratzah Shloshim sometimes 30. So the Gemara says very simply, really everybody holds you have to do Purim in the second Adar. Even if you did it the first month, you have to do it again. So what's the argument why Rabbi says they went out for Adar Sheni, and the Chacham say there was no need to go out for Adar Sheni? If you have to keep Purim, why don't they go out to tell you when Purim is? So they say as follows. Chachamim hold, the first Adar is always 30 days regardless. If the first Adar is 30 days, you know exactly when Purim is going to be in the second Adar anyway, because you know exactly when it's going to be. Rabbi, that says you do go out for Adar Sheni, holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says it's not always 30. Sometimes it's 29, sometimes it's 30. So if you don't know, then the Shluchim have to go out to tell everybody when Purim is. But everybody holds, Purim must be kept in the second month.
Is that why the halacha is that the second month is the real...
In the Gemara, there's two opinions. Like everything. In the Gemara Megillah, some people say, when do you keep Purim? You keep Purim in Adar first. Why? Because every year, Purim comes the month after Shvat. So after Shvat comes Adar. The other opinion says, no, it's always the Adar before Nisan. It's always the month before Nisan. So therefore you keep in the second Adar. The halacha is, the Gemara says, that mismach geula legeula. We keep it in the second Adar. Purim. Like we do. Why? Because we want to put the redemption of Purim next to redemption of Pesach. Because really, you could say Adar follows Shvat, or Adar comes before Nisan. So it could be either way, right? But the Gemara says the reason for the halacha is we want to put the Geula of Purim next to Geula of Pesach. Because both are redemptions of the Jewish nation. So therefore the Gemara says we always do it in the second Adar. Here the Gemara originally was thinking, what happens though if I did it in the first Adar? Because it's not far-fetched, because there is such an opinion that says anyway you do Purim in the first Adar. So the Gemara thought that this itself would be an argument. Do you do Purim in the first Adar? And if you did, that means you're supposed to do it in the second. But if you did it in the first, but the other you did it. And the other opinion says no. But the Gemara says no. Everybody holds you have to do it in the second Adar. And if you did Purim in the first Adar, I'll give you an example. What happens even today? A guy lives in a remote place. He doesn't know there's two Adars. He doesn't know there's two Adars. It came the 14th of Adar Rishon, he did Purim. Then after, the week later, he comes back to civilization and he finds out that, hey, it's the wrong month. Then he has to redo the entire Purim. Megillah, Shalach Maaseh, I mean, he has to redo everything. Get drunk again, I mean, whatever. Say L'chaim again, whatever. He has to do everything again.
But why would there even be any question of when it is? It wasn't like even at Mount Sinai, so that they had this question of debating about it. They made it Purim when they made it. When did they make it? When they made it after the first, when the Purim happened?
The Rishonim asked the question, if I'm not mistaken. The Gemara says over the Rishonim ask, what do you mean? How can you have an argument? What did they always do?
Yeah.
I mean, what did they do, you know? And the Gemara answers with such, I mean, the Rishonim answer, if I'm not mistaken, about this issue also, but other issues for sure they answer it. They answered there was such a golus, the Jews were suffering so much, and they were thrown around from place to place, people just forgot. They just forgot what they did. The Gemara says about a lot of things, they forgot. And they didn't know what to do, and then somebody came and reinstituted it. So the question, what do you mean they forgot? No, everybody in the Jewish nation forgot. I mean, how could it be? The answer is, it was such a golus that they forgot in those days. Now the Gemara says,
the faithful ones.
You were late. Sigmar says, hey, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Mishim Kahala Kadisha Yerushalayim. It's an interesting one. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said, in the name of the holy community of Yerushalayim, that Al Shnei Adorim, about the two others, Shemekachin Eisim B'yemi Burei. By the way, before we even go further, you know, there's an interesting question. What do you do with a yard site? I mean, I personally have that case now. But what do you do if somebody passed away in a regular other? Right? And now you have two others. So when do you celebrate the yard site? Or when do you celebrate a birthday? If somebody was born in the first other. I mean, in a normal year, other. And now, when do you celebrate? When does it become bar mitzvah? In the first other, the second other? So it's a lot of interesting differences. The din is bar mitzvahs in the second other. Bar mitzvahs in the second other. Yard sites, you try to keep both, but the main one is the first one. So a lot of differences with these two others, how you work it.
Is it only for bar mitzvah the second, or every birthday?
Birthday, basically, you count the second. Yeah. Some people say you should be machmir from the first other, but But really, the bar mitzvah is in the second, the birthday is the second other. Now, obviously, if somebody is born in a leap year, and it comes a leap year, so then you celebrate either one you were born. If you're born in the first other, you celebrate the first other. If you're born in the second other, you celebrate the second other. And therefore, I mentioned during the week once, you can have a scenario that a kid is born, let's say me and you and I, you were born first, and I become bar mitzvah first. You were born 2 weeks before me, and I could become bar mitzvah 2 weeks before you. How is it possible? We were born, let's say, in a leap year. And you were born on the 20th of the first Adar. 20th of the first Adar. And I was born on the 10th of the second Adar. So you're 20 days older than me, right? And the year we become bar mitzvah, it's a regular year. So I become bar mitzvah on the 10th of Adar, and you become bar mitzvah on the 20th of Adar, even though you were born 20 days before me, but you were born in the first Adar, 20th, I was born in the second Adar, 10th, but the year we become bar mitzvah, it's a regular year, and therefore I would become bar mitzvah on the 10th of Adar, and you become bar mitzvah on the 20th of Adar. That's a little wacky, but that's not the way it works. It means a kid that was born, let's say, 20 days before becomes bar mitzvah 10 days later. So it's the whole... Okay, then he says, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said, the name of Kala Kadish of Yerushalayim, Al Shnei Adorim, that when there's two others, Shemekach and Eisim, B'yem B'bureyim, that they sanctify the month on the 30th day of the month. Meaning, each month has only 29 days. That's what the holy congregation of Yerushalayim said, that on the first order you make it 29 days, second order 29 days. That's it. So the Gemara asks, "Lemeimer de Chasidin and Avdinin, are you telling me that we make only 29-day month, meaning missing months. Meleim le'avdim, but we don't make full months of 30 days. How could that be? So it says, lafuki medudara shevnach mechista. This excludes and precludes what Rav Nachman bar Chista said. The, what did he say? The Heid Rabbi Simoi, in the name of Chagi Scharia Malachi, were the last of the prophets. Chagi Scharia Malachi, what did they say? Al Shnei Adorim. But when there's two others, Shem Ratzel Aseisim Shnei Emeleim. You're about 10 lines to the bottom of the page. That if they both wanted to make them, if they wanted to make them both full months, meaning 30 months, Aseim, you could do it. Shneim Chaseim, if you wanted to make them both missing days, you could do it. If you want Echem Aliv Echad Chasid, Aseim, if you want to make 129, 130, you could do it also. In other words, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Yerushalayim, they said, both others have only 29 days. That's it. So the Gemara asks, Rav Nachman bar Chista said, that Rav Simoi said in the name of the prophets, Chag Yischari Malachi, that the two others can either have both 30 days, both 29 days, or both 129 and 130. So how can you, you know, and he says not only that, that was Taka the Minig in Golus in Bavel, that that's the way they did it. Yet in the name of Rabbeinu, who was Rav, they said, Echad Ma'aleva Echad Chosin. One of them is full and the second other is lacking, meaning 29 days. And that's the way you do it. Unless if you know that Beis Din Eretz Yisrael did it differently. There's three opinions here. What did they do with the two others? One opinion says of Yerushalayim that they made both others 29 days. Chag Yischari Malachi, the prophet said, one, you can make 129, 130, both 30, both 29. Rav said, in Babel, what did they do? One, the first one, 30, second one, 29. And that's what we do, by the way. The way according to our calendar, the first other always has 30 days, the second other always has 29 days. And that's the Nalip year, that's what it's going to be. The first other will have 30 days, the second other will have 29 days. And the Gemara says, Taka, Shalchulei Lamar Ukva, they sent a message to Mar Ukva, that Adar Asamach LeNissen, the Adar next to Nissen, meaning the second Adar, Le'elam Chaser is always 29 days. And like we said, that's regardless. That means, what is the Gemara answering? If it's a regular year, not a leap year, Adar has 29 days. If it's a leap year, the second other also has only 29 days. According to our calendar, the first other has 30 days, the second calendar is 29, the second other has 29 days. And that's the halacha. Because we know Rosh Chodesh Nissan is only one day. You know, it's only one day means it's only the previous month at 29 days. When there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, it means the previous month at 30 days. So the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, and the first day is Rosh Chodesh. When there's one day of Rosh Chodesh, then you know that the first month had only 29 days, and the first day of it would only day of Rosh Chodesh is the first day of the next month. Like this year, and the Kislev and Cheshvan could change. And this year, Kislev has 30 days, and Cheshvan has 30 days. It's not often that it happens. According to the cycle of the calendar, all the months are set. All the months are set exactly 29 and 30. Cheshvan though, and Kislev can sometimes have 29, sometimes 30, sometimes both 29, or once 130, 129. So this year, based on the calendar system, Cheshvan had 30 days, Kislev has 30 days. Next month, Tevis is only going to have 29 days. That's the way the system works. It's an organized pattern, how often it happens and how you do it. Because they have to equalize all the days. So, this year, there are 2 days Moshe. Now, Rosh Chodesh is Thursday and Friday. That means Kislev, this year, is a 30-day month. Sometimes, if Rosh Chodesh Tevis would be 1 day, so Kislev would only have 29 days. And it happens very often like that. Sometimes like this, sometimes like this. And that's it. So the Gemara asks a question, Masiv Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman asks a question. It says, Al Shnei Chadoshim Mechalin as a Shabbos. For 2 months, out of all the months, Besdin, the Shluchim went out 6 months out of the year. From those 6 months that the Shluchim went out to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh was, only for 2 months do you desecrate Shabbos. That means the guys were allowed to go on horses on Shabbos. Even normally you're not allowed to go out, ride a horse on Shabbos. You know, they were allowed to go out in Nisan and Tishrei. That, because people had to know Tishrei for the Yom Tov, Pesach, I mean, Tishrei would have to know when Sukkot was, Nisan had to know when Pesach was. So those holidays, for those two holidays, used to desecrate Shabbos. Because, you know, you can only go 2,000 cubits outside of a city. It was called Tchum Shabbos. They went all the whole way. They had mamish desecrated Shabbos for it. So the Gemara asks, so now the Gemara asks a very simple question. If Adar is always 29 days, right? So people, when as soon as they knew when Adar was, knew 29 days later, started Nisan. Right? So why did they have to desecrate Shabbos? If you're telling me Adar can sometimes have 29 days, sometimes it could have 30 days, so they had to go out at the beginning of Nisan to tell people when Rosh Chodesh was, because they didn't know. It could be after 29 days, it could be after 30 days. But the Gemara's question is, if Adar, that's before Nisan, always has 29 days, why did they have to go out in Nisan for? If they knew when Rosh Chodesh Adar was, 29 days later is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so why did the Shluchim have to desecrate Shabbos? And that's the Gemara's question. If you tell me sometimes it was a full month of 30 days, and sometimes Adar had 29 days, that's why you have to desecrate Shabbos. But if you're going to say that it was missing, why in the world did they have to desecrate Shabbos to tell people? Everybody knew anyway. To give you an example, Shavuos, the Bezdin didn't go out. In Sivan, the Shluchim didn't go out to tell everybody when Shavuos was. Why didn't people tell everybody when Shavuos was? Don't they have to know when Shavuos is? No. Everybody knew. Because Shavuos is 49 days after Pesach. Period. So what do you have to tell people? They know. You know when Pesach is. 49 days later, on the 50th day is Shavuos. What do you have to go out for? The Gemara's question over here, if everybody knows Adar is 29 days, so why do you have to tell people when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was? They don't know it themselves. They counted 29 days from Rosh Chodesh Adar, and they know when it is. So the Gemara answers, Mishum de Mekadish, Mitzvah de Kadish al Ariyah. The Gemara says, the Gemara is going to talk about that later. The Gemara answers, it's still a mitzvah to do it with witnesses. Even though everybody knew, you're still supposed to do it with witnesses. And later the Gemara is going to ask, so then they should go out 12 months a year and desecrate Shabbos 12 months a year. But the Gemara is going to talk about that later. But the Gemara answers, you're right. Everybody would know when Pesach is. But still, it's a mitzvah to do it. Like the Torah says, this is the first month. It's a mitzvah to do Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a biblical mitzvah that the Chachamim said, you have to do the mitzvah of sanctifying the moon. So the Gemara asks, and the Gemara says, now Ikadami, the Gemara says a different version. Amar Rav Nachman said, Afananimitanina, we also learned in the Brayse exactly what you said, that Adar is only 29 days. Why? It's because it says, Ashnei Chadoshim Mechalon is the Shabbos, and 2 months the witnesses are allowed to desecrate Shabbos. Al Nisan Val Tishrei, for Nisan and Tishrei. So he says, "I amid b'shleim aleilum chaser." If you're telling me Nissan's always missing, mishum hachi mechalalin. That's why they desecrated the mitzvah l'kadosh alariyah, because it's a mitzvah to do it with witnesses. Eli amrit zimne mali v'zimne chaser. But if you tell me what the reason why the shluchim went out is because sometimes it was full, sometimes full month, and sometimes half a month. Amai mechalalin. Why should we desecrate Shabbos? Nabraidna. Let us make other full today. On the Kachil Machaba will make Rosh Chodesh Nisan tomorrow. Meaning as follows. The Torah gave the Chacham a unique power. They can make Rosh Chodesh whenever they want. If Bezdin wants, they can make Rosh Chodesh a day early or a day late. I mean, they can't make it on the 10th day of the month, obviously. But Bezdin, there's a famous Gemara later in Rosh Hashanah, that before Rosh Hashanah, all the malachim come to Hashem and say, hey, when's Rosh Hashanah? You know, when's Rosh Hashanah? God said, I don't know. Whenever Bezdin will proclaim Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, that's when Rosh Hashanah is. That's when we'll come to the business. So the question, God doesn't know when Rosh Hashanah is. I mean, he's the boss. What do you mean he doesn't know when Rosh Hashanah is? The answer is, Hashem gave that power over to the Chachamim. It says, we say this before Kiddush on Yom Tov Day, the Pasuk, it's in the Torah, Eile Meyadei Hashem, these are the Yom Tovim of God, Asher Tikru Eisam B'Meyadam, that you should call them the Yom Tov in their proper time. If you look in Chumash, the word Eisam is without a Vav. So read Atem. Eile Meyadei Hashem, these are the Yom Tovim Hashem, Asher Tikru Atem, that you call them. And the Gemara says, Atem afilu shegigin, afilu muzidim, afilu mutoyim. Bezdin could do it intentionally wrong, accidentally wrong. If they made a mistake, it doesn't matter. When Bezdin proclaims Rosh Chodesh, that's when Rosh Chodesh is. And in fact, this even happened by Rosh Hashanah. Because there's a story told, it's important why in Eretz Israel they keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes they ended up keeping 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Either Torah says Rosh Hashanah is 1 day, and why doesn't the Beis HaMikdash know when Rosh Hashanah is? So the Gemara tells a story. Normally, when you saw the moon at night, the witnesses came right away in the morning. Yeah, they came right away in the morning to tell Bezdin they saw the moon. So Bezdin would wait for the witnesses to come. If they didn't come, they obviously knew this day is not Rosh Chodesh. So they waited until the next day. If the witnesses came, that they testified that they saw the moon, so Bezdin would proclaim that day Aleph. So Gemara tells a story. One time was Tishrei, and Bezdin was waiting for the witnesses to come in the morning, and then by proclaiming it Rosh Chodesh, it automatically becomes Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the month, and the witnesses didn't come. And they saw the day went on, witnesses didn't come. What's the difference? You have to know in the Beis HaMikdash, do you do regular sacrifices or Rosh Hashanah sacrifices? What do you do? They have to know what to do. So Bezdin was prolonging it to wait for the witnesses to come. It was late and the witnesses didn't come. So Bezdin assumed they're not coming. So he did the weekday Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. Like a weekday. Then, after they did the weekday Kabbanis, the witnesses popped up. And now Bezdin had the dilemma, because if they make Rosh Hashanah, well, the problem is, though, they already did the weekday Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And now what were you going to do? So Bezdin made a takana, that if the witnesses come after midday, they keep the rest of the day holy, as Yom Tov, but the real Rosh Hashanah is the next day. The question is, the witnesses saw the moon the night before. Let's say Sunday night they saw the moon. Monday should be Rosh Hashanah. Well, Bezdin pushes off Rosh Hashanah to Tuesday. How can they push off Rosh Hashanah to Tuesday? When the Torah is, the new moon was seeing Sunday night, the Monday should be Yom Tov. The Chachamim were given this power by the Torah to push it off. So the Gemara is saying over here, as a proof that Adar had 29 days. Why? Because if he says, if you tell me it always was 29 days, that's why they desecrated Shabbos. Why? Because you have to do it according to the witnesses. But if sometimes it could be 30, sometimes 29, what's the problem? Why do you have to desecrate Shabbos? Make Bezdin say, today's holy, but Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow. Or Nissan, what's the difference? Why can't they do that? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Because either Ikla Yom Shleishim B'Shabbos, if the 30th day fell out in Shabbos, then you would be right about not desecrating Shabbos. But here it's speaking, the Ikli Yem Shleishim Ve'echa B'Shabbos, the 31st day fell out in Shabbos. If the 31st day fell out in Shabbos, the witnesses had to come to Bezdin by desecrating Shabbos. And that was before Bezdin would be able to proclaim when Rosh Chodesh was. Meaning, give me an example. What happens if witnesses saw the moon Friday night? What happens if witnesses saw the moon Friday night? So, they have to come to Bezdin the next morning, yeah? What happens if they live too far from Bezdin? They can't walk. It's outside the Tchum of Shabbos. It's outside the limitation where you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. So the din is for Nissen and Tishrei, they're allowed to desecrate Shabbos. The witnesses to come to Bezdin. Not only the Shluchim of Bezdin were allowed to go out, the witnesses were allowed to do it before they even proclaimed when Rosh Chodesh was. So you can't ask a question, let Bezdin proclaim 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, because we're talking about the people coming to Bezdin to tell Bezdin that they saw the moon. Bezdin didn't do anything yet.
But then the distance is only rabbinic, right?
Depends. A certain Tchum Shabbos would be biblical. Certain of them would even be biblical. More than 12 mil would be biblical. Or other things that whatever they would have to desecrate Shabbos.
And the other months, how do they know if it was on
the other month was not, they didn't care.
So if they missed the Rosh Chodesh, it was okay.
Huh?
If they missed Rosh Chodesh, it was okay. It could be 2 days off.
It really didn't matter. No, but they would found out that it happened then. They found it.
Let's say the first day was on Shabbos, so they couldn't come on Shabbos.
Oh, the Gemara is going to ask. In a second, the Gemara is going to say, when the Beis Hamikdash was, they did it every month to desecrate Shabbos if they needed. Oh. Why? Because they had to know what carbon to bring. Do you bring a Rosh Chodesh carbon or a daily, right, the regular one?
The other month was davening also. I mean, the other times, where there wasn't
one. Davening wasn't that matter. Didn't matter that much.
So they were 2 days late, and after the Beis Hamikdash, they would just daven the third
day? No, it wasn't that they made Rosh Chodesh on the 33rd day.
No, third day.
Huh?
Third day.
They wouldn't make Rosh Chodesh then. They knew retroactively when Rosh Chodesh was.
So they wouldn't daven Rosh Chodesh davening.
No, but that didn't matter so much. The main thing was Aved in the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, one of the reasons to set up the calendar was for that we shouldn't have that mix-up. But the Rambam talks... The Rambam talks about what happens if you have a scenario. Now, a month could be 29, a month could be 30, right? Yeah? Now, what happens if the witnesses didn't come? Bezdin would proclaim Rosh Chodesh on the 31st day. Correct? On the 31st day. Sometimes, if the witnesses came after 29 days, they proclaim the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes they proclaim the 31st day Rosh Chodesh, yeah? Now, what happens if that happens 5 months in a row? If that happened a few months in a row, because it was cloudy and no witnesses saw the moon, yeah, do you know what that means? That in the 6th month, Rosh Chodesh should be on the 24th day of the month, witnesses would come and see the moon, because it's possibly 29, 30, right? And if Bezdin didn't see the moon for 5 months, and therefore because nobody saw the moon, they would always make it on the 31st day, right? After a few months, somebody would see the moon on the 27th. And there's no bigger joke than that. So when that happened, that for a few months witnesses didn't come, Bezdin made 29:30. Now you have to understand, the truth of the matter is, Bezdin didn't need all this. Bezdin was able to figure out, according to astronomy, exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. And in fact, the Rambam in Kiddush HaChodesh has a whole thing how to figure out the relationship between the sun and the moon. That's the whole Kiddush HaChodesh. It's very difficult, unless if you learn science in school, you know. I mean, the guys that know this, it's very simple, but the guys that don't know this, is very hard. Bezdin, every month, would figure out anyway if it was possible for the witness to see the moon or not. So every month Bezdin himself figured out when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. But the Torah says you have to wait for the witnesses to come. But what happens in the case when Bezdin knew you can't see the moon tonight? It's impossible. According to what is the moon? The moon you can only see based on the sunlight hitting the moon to be able to come to Earth, right? To see it. So it depends the angle where the sun is and the angle where the moon is. Right? So Bezdin has to figure out, and there's a way of figuring it out. So if witnesses came on the 30th day and said, last night we saw the moon, and Bezdin knows it's impossible to see the moon that night, Bezdin knew they were false witnesses. The only thing was the reverse. It was possible that the moon was there, but you didn't see it because of the clouds. That was possible. But Bezdin figured out anyway. So the truth is, Bezdin didn't need all this, the witnesses. The Beis Din did it because the Torah says this is the way to do it with the witnesses. That's why our calendar today is figured out perfectly according to that system, and we don't need witnesses to come and say when we see the moon. You know exactly when the birth of the moon is. What's the birth of the moon? When the moon starts coming out, yeah? That's what you call by when you bench the Shechidish, the Meila, the birth. That's the birth of the moon, when the moon is possible to be seen. And you can figure out exactly. And according to the Rambam, it also depends where in Eretz Yisrael you are. In certain places you could see it better. You know, the whole thing, if you're higher, lower, I mean, the whole 9 yards, so to speak.
Where would the witnesses go to see the moon?
Where? They didn't go out to go look for the moon. It wasn't an eclipse.
No.
If they were walking in the street and they looked up and they saw the moon, they had to come to Beis Din.
Why didn't Beis Din look up in the sky?
Because that's what I'm saying. Certain times you can't see it in your Yerushalayim, you could see it in other places.
So how far out?
So the Rambam has a whole discussion about how far it's possible to see the moon somewhere else and not in Yerushalayim. The Rambam talks about it all the time. I don't know.
If someone saw it in Russia, they could come back and tell them.
There are no Jews in Russia at that time.
So was wherever the Jews saw the moon, they would come back and tell the Beis Din.
Yeah, but you talk basically about the Meilid is the Meilid of the moon in Eretz Yisrael.
So anyone in Israel that saw it, we'll go.
What we call the birth of the moon. What birth are we talking about? In America and China? Because in different parts you see the moon. Like Eretz Yisrael is 10 hours ahead of here, let's say, yeah? Australia's a day ahead of us. Right? So you talk about which birth? The birth in America, the birth in China, the birth in Israel. So the Meilid that we call is the Meilid of Eretz Yisrael. The birth of the moon in Eretz Yisrael, it's not in America.
The witness could be anybody.
No.
It'd have to be a sign. Oh.
That'd be kosher witnesses.
Kosher witnesses.
No, anybody. It didn't have to be. But they have to be kosher witnesses.
Did it have to be a sign as a witness?
No.
If you were walking in the street and you saw the moon,
you had an obligation.
You'd go back to the Beis Din. Right. On the Shabbos. So
For Shabbos, only 2 months.
At
the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says every month. We'll soon see.
There could be like 30 people riding horse to come back to Elizabeth.
Yeah, and not only that, they made a party for the witnesses.
Yeah.
When the witnesses came, they would make a party to give them food, to encourage the witnesses to come. Mm-hmm. Not only that, even if they, let's say, had 30 witnesses, and they checked the first two, and they saw they were legitimate, so there's really no need to interview the rest of the witnesses, Beis Din interviewed them all. Why? Because if not, people think, why do I have to go to Beis Din? I'm sure other people saw the moon first. And they're going to go to Beis Din. I have to go to Beis Din, waste my time if they're not interested in me. So Beis Din did it in a way that everybody felt important. And everybody was felt and they were needed to come. And therefore Beis Din did it in a way that after Beis Din really knew that there's no need to interview further. No, they interviewed the witness. Not as severe, it wasn't such a strong interview. To make him crazy, but Beis Din went to every group of every person that came and discussed it with them, what they saw and how they saw and so on.
Shkar.